அதுதாங்க ரெடி. ஜய ராதா மாதவா குஞ்ச விஹாரி, குஞ்ச விஹாரி ராதா மாதவா குஞ்ச விஹாரி. கோபிஜன வல்லபா கிரிவரதாரி, கோபிஜன வல்லபா கிரிவரதாரி, யசோதானந்தன பிரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன, யசோதானந்தன பிரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன, யமுனா தீராவனசாரி, யமுனா தீராவனசாரி, ஜய ராதா மாதவ குஞ்ச விஹாரி. கோபி ஜனவல் கிரிவரதாரி, யசோதானந்தன பிரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன, யசோதானந்தன பிரஜ ஜனரஞ்சன, யமுனா தீராவனசாரி, ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே, கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavana Chandra Ki, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki, Srinivas Balaji Ki, समावेत भक्त वृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमावो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम फोर्थ कैंटो द verse which is 4.30.49 Ch चक्षुषे त्वंतरे प्राप्ते प्राक्सर्गे काल विद्रुते यस्य सर्ज प्रजा इष्टाः सदक्षो दैव चोदितः चाक्षुषे त्वंतरे प्राप्ते प्राक्सर्गे काल विद्रुते यस्य सर्ज प्रजा इष्टाः सदक्षो दैव चोदितः।
What meaning? Chakshuse. Named Chakshusha. Tu. But. Antare.
Antare.
The Manvantara. Prapte. When it happened. Prak. Previous. Sarge. Creation. Kala vidrute. Destroyed in due course of time. Yah, one who, sasarja, created, praja, living entities, ista, desirable, sah, he, dakshasah, daksha, daiva, by the supreme personality of Godhead, choditaha, inspired. Translation. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the supreme will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha Manvantara. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyat Brahmano Viduhu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janah. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. Brahma's one day consists of 1,000 cycles of the 4 yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. In that one day, there are 14 manvantaras. And out of these manvantaras, this Chakshusha manvantara is the 6th. The various manus existing in one day of Lord Brahma are as follows. Swayambhuva, Swarochesha, Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata, Chakshusha, Vaivasvata, Savarni, Daksha Savarni, Brahma Savarni, Dharma Savarni, Rudra Savarni, Deva Savarni and Indra Savarni. Thus there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. In a year there are 5040 Manus. Brahma has to live for 100 years. Consequently, the total of Manus appearing and disappearing during the life of one Brahma is 504,000. This is the calculation for one universe. And there are innumerable universes. All these manus come and go simply by the breathing process of Mahavishnu. As stated in the Brahma Samhita. Yasya kanivasita kalam athavilambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho Govindamadi purasham tamaham bhajami. The word Jagadandanatha means Lord Brahma. There are innumerable Jagadandanathas, Brahmas, and thus we can calculate the many Manus.
We cannot calculate.
Sorry. Thus we can...
We cannot.
Thus we cannot calculate the many Manus. The present age is under the control of Vaivasvata Manu. Each Manu lives 4 lakh...
43 lakh.
43 lakhs, 20,000 years multiplied by 71. The present Manu has already lived for 43,20,000 years multiplied by 28. And all these long life spans are ultimately ended by the laws of material nature. The controversy of the Daksha Yajna took place in the Swayambhuva Manvantara period. As a result, Daksha was punished by Lord Shiva. But by virtue of his prayers to Lord Shiva, he became eligible to regain his former opulence. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Daksha underwent severe penances up to the 5th Manvantara. Thus, at the beginning of the 6th Manvantara, known as the Chakshusha Manvantara, Daksha regained his former opulence by the blessings of Lord Shiva.
So we are in which Manvantara right now? Vaivashvatamana. Somewhere in the middle of Vaivashvatamana's Manvantara. Because Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years, and then Dwapara is twice, Treta is thrice, and Satya is four times. So 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is how much? Yeah. So then if you 10 multiply 10 by 4.3 lakh, then it becomes 43 lakh. So 43 lakh multiplied by 71 millenniums is the period of one mana, like that. That's the calculation. So, as we heard just now, in the beginning of Swayambhuva Manu, Swayambhuva Manvantar, that Daksha Yajna pastime happened. So, there you all know that how Daksha behaved erratically by offending Lord Shiva. And not listening to the saintly people and other demigods who advised him to stop wrangling. He did not listen. And he wanted to storm out of the assembly. They told him, don't go out of the assembly. Already you have committed a couple of mistakes. You offended Lord Shiva and you didn't listen to the good advice of the great saintly people. If you storm out of the assembly, then it will be another one more offense. But he anyway went out, and he also spoke very badly, and following him, then Nandi, the assistant of Lord Shiva, or Vahana of Lord Shiva, felt very offended that my master is being ill-treated here, and nobody in the assembly is talking against Daksha out of fear of him. So, if somebody tolerates the offenses committed to a Vaishnava, then that is also a very great offense. Either you should leave the assembly or defeat those who are offending. So some Vaishnavas plugged their ears and left the assembly. And Nandi preferred to defeat. So Nandi then spoke against the Daksha as well as Daksha's other men. So Bhrigu and other Brahmanas. Then they got very offended. Then they spoke against Nandi and the followers of Shiva. They said all the followers of Shiva will be monists and they'll be foolish and they'll be ghosts and spirits and hobgoblins. So there was back and forth, very dangerous type of flying of back and forth offenses. So in the course of such behavior, Daksha also made a... Daksha actually was... after ill-treating Shiva, and Shiva walked out. Shiva did not take any heed to the whole matter. Although Shiva had the power to curse back, or, you know, Shiva had the power to establish his superior position, he was not just a son-in-law, he was a Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. But Shiva, exhibiting the natural behavior of a Vaishnava, he did not protest. He left the assembly and went away. But Shiva became afflicted by the great Mahadaparad. Ayushriyam Yashodharmam Lokana Shisha Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahadatikramaha. This verse says, the duration of life and all the opulences like wealth and fame and religiosity and the punya accumulated by religious activities, and all the blessings achieved by various great souls that one might have accumulated in all one's life, hanti, they all are destroyed. And in this way, pumso mahadatikramaha, when one offends a great soul, to the degree the soul is great, to that degree the offense takes a bigger and bigger effect. And Shiva is the greatest soul, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. So naturally, Daksha became terribly afflicted by the reactions of his offenses. So, following that, he did further mistakes. This is one lesson we can learn from Daksha Prajapati, that if we commit one mistake, we should try to rectify it as quickly as possible. But sometimes in order to establish one's superior position, then one commits a second mistake. And then when that second mistake is proven to be wrong, then one commits a third mistake. Like some time ago there was one US president, I think Bill Clinton, I think. There was some allegation against him about some misbehavior in the parliament or something like that. So there was a group of people who put that allegation. So in order to disprove that allegation, he had to spend like $8 million or so. But then, they spent some $11 million, and, back and forth they were spending. Finally, it was proven that he indeed had indulged in that some mal behavior with a woman or something in the parliament. But the point is, when we commit an initial mistake and then the mistake is proven, one takes a humble role and seeks forgiveness, then the mistake was done, then some punishment would be given and then it would be rectified eventually. But then one tries to cover up the mistake, then that becomes a bigger mistake. That would be considered a bigger lack of integrity, like that. Then people who might otherwise be merciful in the first instance, in the second instance they will become merciless, because they will think that not only he committed a mistake, he is trying to cover up the mistake to save his face and try to put up a show, he is completely all right. So that kind of thing happened with Daksha. Daksha continued to persist on the point that I am right, Shiva is wrong. So therefore, when he arranged the Vajpayee Yajna later in his place, he sent out beautiful invitations to all the devatas, but he did not invite Shiva. See, here was a golden opportunity for him. Actually, by inviting personally, he could have gone to Shiva and offered obeisances and said, the previous assembly, somehow or other I spoke certain things, many Vaishnavas are unhappy with me and I think I have committed a blunder, please forgive me. He can fall at his feet and Shiva would embrace him, and then the relationship would be rectified, and then he could invite him to Daksha Yajna. Shiva may be hesitating, but he has to give him full assurance. Something like what happened before will not happen now. I assure you again, 100% guaranteed. So then Shiva and Dakshayani, Sati, they would come to the assembly and all people would see, if Shiva and Devi, they have come for the assembly, what does it mean? That means they have nullified the enmity. There is no more enmity, correct, no? But he didn't do that. In fact, he deliberately called all demigods and purposefully missed out who? Shiva. So, but Sati was watching all the aeroplanes flying above the head. All demigods along with their wives were very beautifully decorated with mukut and kundal and new dresses, ornaments and everything. They were all flying, just like some very important party happening in some very rich house. All people are going. Sati told Shiva that, you are a greatly renounced ascetic. You can just sit under a tree and absorb yourself. Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. There's one verse which says that Lord Shiva was completely absorbed in remembrance of Lord Vasudeva even in the Daksha assembly before. For him it makes no difference what is going on outside. So she said, you are so absorbed in the Lord, you don't need the worldly socialization, worldly association of the people. But as far as I am concerned, I am a woman. When I see all these demigods going there, I am also very eager to go. You see, all my sisters will be coming for this occasion. I can meet them. I can meet my mother. Also, she said, it would be very prestigious, very wonderful to take part in that yajna. But Shiva said, we never got an invitation. Why should we go? So she said, for very close and intimate relatives, invitation is not given. If invitation is given, it will be an insult. I am, after all, Daksha's daughter. Why do I need an invitation? Everybody, the whole world knows this Vajpayee Yajna is going on. So, therefore, he didn't behave in a formal way with me by sending invitation. But then Shiva said, okay, what you said is probably true. But recently the relationship has been strained between Daksha and me. If he wanted to be sure that he wants us to come, he should have sent the invitation. Even not even a phone call. Huh? Just one word also is not passed to us. Huh? And Shiva said, as far as I am concerned, I foresee a great danger if we go there. When someone is humiliated in someone's place, one should not go and show the face unnecessarily. Because you are not wanted, you should not go. That is the etiquette. So we should not unnecessarily cut a sorry figure after going to a place where you are not wanted. So Shiva said, I am in no mood to go. And then he told her, as far as you are concerned, it is your choice. If you wish to go, you may go. So Shiva actually didn't want her to go, but did not directly say it explicitly. He left the choice to her. So Sati would go outside the home and look at the sky, all the flying planes. She would come inside and look at Shiva. What kind of person is he? Eh? Again she would go out. She was feeling a lot of tug of war, confusion. She looked at Shiva as if she is going to burn him down. Eh? She was so angry with Shiva. Why is he not cooperating with my wish? Finally, after a lot of consideration and contemplation, in her mind she thought like this. I will go to my father's Vajpayee Yajna and establish to him the superiority of Lord Shiva. And after he understands, he will cry tears and say, please tell me, daughter, what I should do now. Then I will immediately tell him to take a plane and go to welcome Shiva. Go and personally welcome Shiva, fall at his feet and seek forgiveness and bring Shiva to the assembly. She made up her mind, like, this is what will happen. And in this way, I have to help my father rectify his offense. Like that she thought. Of course, Sati's idea was a very wonderful idea, but will that work? Daksha was no man, he had a lot of ego problem. He was no man to melt. So thinking like this, she was preparing to go, and Nandi came and stood in the front. So all the associates of Shiva, Rudra, Anuchar, Anuchar of Shiva were all wondering what to do now. So they looked at Shiva, they looked at Devi. Now they are like mother and father for them. Whom to follow now? Should they follow Shiva and stay back? Or should they follow Devi and go with her? But they knew that Sati is very dear to the heart of Lord Shiva. So, and Shiva would not want her to face any difficulty. So, because she is like the sweetheart of Shiva, she should be protected. So, if she is protected, who will be happy? Shiva will be happy. So, they understood the mind of Shiva. So, they gave her a Nandi. They put her on the Nandi. They gave a palanquin. They gave her a parrot in one hand. They gave a ball in the other. They gave some things which she would carry, toy. Her favorites, they gave things like that to her. And then all the Anuchar surrounded the Nandi with her, protecting her. And everybody proceeded ahead to Vajpayee Yajna in the Daksha's Yajna. So, subsequently something very dangerous happened. When she went there, all her sisters were so jolly to receive their sister. They all came and embraced her. Mother also came and everybody had glistening eyes. Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. They welcomed. See, the welcome has to come from the bottom of the heart. And she could see that. But for Sati, it made no difference. What is so great about it? You are all my sisters only. You are my mother and we know we have a sweet relationship already. But then she looked at Daksha. How is he welcoming? And Daksha was sitting at the sacrificial arena. And there were also Brahmanas sitting. Brahmanas also, as soon as they saw Sati coming in, immediately they wanted to get up and smile at her and wish her, because she is Mrs. Shiva, no? She is a worshipable deity. So they all wanted to get up and do that. But then Daksha was watching them. So they were feeling a little embarrassment. They could not welcome her. At the same time, you know, they could not displease Daksha also. So, somehow or other, indirectly they wished her their respect, Brahmanas. They understood that Daksha doesn't want us to go. Daksha, actually, she saw that she is coming. He turned his face away like this. Then she became very upset. Then she spoke to her father, I am ashamed to be called as Dakshayani. You know, rather I would prefer to be called as the wife of Shiva rather than daughter of such a man like you. Very strongly she spoke. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely analyzed the speech of Sati. And that's where he talks about Mahat, Mahattara, Mahattama, Ati Mahattama and Asadhu, Asadhutara, Asadhutama, Atyasadhutama. Then she proved to her father very mathematically, you are Atyasadhutama, the most sinful person. And Lord Shiva is Ati Mahattama, the most exalted person. So, after that, she self-immolated herself by creating a mystic fire within her belly. Like that. Huh? So, the whole assembly became very frightened. Huh? And Shiva, through his Jnana Chakshu, could understand what had happened. He said, first this fellow offended me, now he has offended his own daughter and caused the death of his daughter. Huh? Shiva was extremely upset. Huh? So, when seeing Shiva upset, Shiva's associates headed by Virabhadra. So, there are some terrible dangerous energies of Shiva. He will find some, what do you call the Kalabhairava? And also, you see temples now, we go to Harinam one day, we went now. There are dangerous associates. Just like, they are like hoodlums. The gundas of this world have to take the dust of those fellows. These gundas are mosquitoes in front of Shiva's fellows. When this fellow, the Virabhadra is named Virabhadra, correct? When Virabhadra came, huge form he has. He came to the Daksha's assembly. In Daksha's assembly, there was one Pusha who was laughing when Daksha was insulting. So, Virabhadra had noted all this. He gave a big slap to him and all the 32 teeth fell and gave him in the hand, take it. All tooth were gone. And he created a mess in the sacrificial arena. And he took Daksha and he cut his head, you know, with his axe, with his kuladi. So, terrible scene. Lot of, many people were damaged in that. Everybody had to flee for their lives. Some could escape with their lives, some couldn't. They were killed also. After this happened, the demigod general became worried and they wanted to pacify Shiva, taking Brahma with them. So they all went to meet Shiva in Kailash. They fell at the feet of Shiva and praised Shiva profusely and glorified him. And Brahma also spoke some certain strong things also Brahma speaks there. He says that people in this world are bodily conscious. They behave foolishly like our Daksha behaved. But you being an exalted soul should respond in a more noble way by forgiving him. And Daksha also wants to seek forgiveness from you. So then Shiva, considering the request of the demigods, he granted some benedictions to Daksha and his associates. He told this poor Pusha lost all his teeth, but he can eat the wheat flour and other things. You know, through somebody else's this thing like that, he made some arrangement for him to eat also. Similarly, for Daksha, he said, he wants to live now, so I will arrange for him to get a goat head. So he got a goat head. His one as Bhaktacharya Maharaj was telling in one of his classes that Daksha did a yajna, but the result of that yajna was he got a goat head. What is the meaning of that? So Maharaj is telling, actually when yajna pleases Lord Vishnu, you know, there is prosperity from that yajna. Whereas when one has displeased Lord Vishnu, he got a goat head, which is a symbol of great insult. Imagine for Daksha, who was a great Brahmana, exalted personality. See, in your body, the most important part for you in the body is the face. For example, when you give your college application form and all, when they tell you to put a photo, do you put the photo of the hand or the leg? Or the back, what do you put? Fear is the most important, correct, no? What you put. Now, Daksha, in his application, what he has to put? Huh? He has to put the goat head picture. Huh? How insulting it is, isn't it? So, that's like a very person's very identity, you see. So, he had to, Daksha had to have a goat head. So, now Daksha went to Shiva and fell at his feet and offered prayers of repentance. And he praised Shiva for his exalted position. Here you find in this purport that Shiva forgave him. How do you know Shiva forgave him? So in Swayambhuva Manu's time, these things happened. Now, following that, there are many, yugas have gone. Swarochusha Manu, Uttama Manu, Tamasa Manu, Raivata Manu. Then came Chakshusha Manu, in which Daksha Prajapati again was, after all this tapasya, severe tapasya he performed, then he was reborn now. He was reborn to Marisha, correct, no? Marisha and the Prachetas. He is reborn as their son. Now, Prachetas are Kshatriyas, correct, no? So, he is born to a Kshatriya now. So, one of the results of his offending Shiva is, he is demoted from a Brahminical status to Kshatriya status. And another punishment that Daksha got is, he had to take rebirth through the semen of a Kshatriya. Which means, generally speaking, if somebody has served Lord Vishnu faithfully all one's life, Taktva Adeham, Punarjanma Naiti, Mameti Sorjana. One is supposed to go back to Godhead. Actually, his post that he got was a first class post. Because he is a Prajapati. He can actually increase the population, assisting Brahma, his father. And after having done the job, you know, he is supposed to go back to Godhead. Even Brahma, if you read Prabhupada purports, Prabhupada says Brahma and his association Satyaloka, after the term is over, they go back to Godhead. Lord gave them an assignment, they fulfill the assignment, go back to Godhead, that's all. It is true for all of us also. We are taking shelter of Vaishnava Guru. And Vaishnava Guru means one who is revealing Krishna to you. Faithfully you practice chanting Krishna names, following four regs, whatever services are given. We don't have to do anything very magical or very big or something like that. If lifelong, till last breath we have practiced. You know, at the end of your life, you know, you finish this is the last material body, Prabhupada says. You don't have to enter into the womb of any more mother through the semen of another father. There's no need for that. Then one goes back to Godhead, isn't it? So he had that opportunity, but he misused that opportunity by becoming proud, unnecessarily proud, and falling down from his position and becoming a goat-headed man. One Brahmana told me, after this Rudram, we used to chant the Chamakam. If you see the Chamakam, it will come, may, it will come in Chamakam. That is because that yajna he did after he got the goat head. Prajishtame, prajishtame, chame, chame, may, like that it will come. So the second part, after the, in Yajurveda, after the Rudram, the Chamakam comes, second part. So, now, Shiva forgave him. How do you know? Shiva has blessed him to get the post now again. He is getting the post in the Chakshusha Manu's period, the sixth Manu's period. But he is a Kshatriya now. Again he is Prajapati. A Kshatriya Prajapati now. Now he is supposed to beget children. So he begot 10,000 Harishwas. And then he told all of them, now you all go to the Narayan Saras, a very holy river, in a forest, and then touch the holy sacred waters, purify yourself every day, and control your senses, control your mind, perform meditation. In this way, gradually become qualified to enter into the Grihastha Ashrama, and then you can beget progeny, which will all be very worthy progeny, and who will actually flood the world and do great good. That was his idea. And then when he sent them, Nadamuni saw that these fellows are so pure-hearted and they don't need to enter into the Grihastha Ashrama. They can remain Naishthika Brahmacharis and they can take to the renounced order. That was Nadamuni's ascertainment after watching them. So he preached to them in a very brief manner, in a, like a riddle kind of thing he told them. After having heard that they all became enlightened. They didn't need any explanation. It was very complicated riddle he spoke to them. Because they were very advanced in knowledge, they quickly understood it. And then they renounced the world and became renunciates. So when the news reached Daksha, he became very wild. What was Daksha's understanding? This Narada Muni has prematurely made them renunciates, although real renunciation has not yet awakened in their heart. In one of the verses he says that, he says, Nanu bhuyana janati puman vishayati kshnatam. And then what he says? Na anubhuya na janati. Anubhuya means without experiencing, a living entity cannot understand the sharpness of material enjoyment. The material enjoyment is like a sharp broken pieces of glass. If you touch broken piece of glass, it will tear your hands. Similarly, foolish living entities in this world chase after sense gratification. But when a person goes through that material world, he has a wife, children, family, and then works hard to get the daughter married, to keep the wife happy, and to do some profession. It is like climbing a mountain, as explained in the Bhagavatam. After undergoing all that, people become very humble. Like you can see, when you look at grihastha men, many of them are more mature than brahmacharis also. Like when they go to the company, the boss says, "You didn't complete the work? Why?" They are, "Sorry, sir." They are very polite. "Why?" "Sir, just give me two more days, sir." "Is it all right, sir?" "Saturday, Sunday, full day will come and work, sir." "Okay, Monday you should submit it, okay?" "Yes, sir." You know, you can see that. Because the job is in the boss's hands. You can't talk against him. If you are in a brahmacharya ashram, and a manager is giving you little extra service, "Prabhuji, this is not scheduled. You never told me that this service is there before. Now I cannot do it." So you can see that because you are not earning any salary here. There we will be thrown out of the job in a company. So therefore, those people who are grihasthas, they know the value of a job. You know, it's very easy to get fired from the job. So they have to be very polite and very humble to retain the job. So that's what he said. Na anubhuya na janati puman vishaya tikshnatam. Vishaya tikshnatam includes many things. One doesn't know the nature of a woman. A woman can be extremely demanding, extremely having expectations by her psychophysical nature. And also the children may be disobedient when they grow up. They may not listen to the father. Similarly, one may not have enough money to maintain the family and he'll become a laughing stock. His destiny may not favor him to bring enough money sometimes. Sometimes there are diseases for the family members and he has to spend a big fortune. And somebody gets a cancer in the family, father, mother, and he doesn't have enough money. He has to go and beg, borrow money from others. So the family challenges, the vishaya tikshnatam, how challenging in this world the sense objects are, the interaction between senses and sense objects can be, high complication can create. Sometimes a man is unable to produce a child. 10 years or 15 years have passed after marriage, then the wife is very unhappy, she doesn't have a child. Then they're going from holy place to holy place, they go to doctor. So that then you can see how much a man will be feeling pained by this. There are many complications like this. So he said these boys should have gone for, you know, they should have got purified and got married. And then he said, "You Narada, do you think that I want them to stay in the material world stuck in Maya forever? You don't know my program. My program is let them go through the grihastha ashram, get repeated kicks and punches and pounds and everything. And then when they become 50, 60, they will have realized knowledge. At that time, the way they will renounce the world, they will never turn back. Like that they'll run and they'll go away. Like that they'll leave. Because they got enough. What is that? Once a cat was fed with a very hot milk, smoky hot milk. But his mustache got burnt. After that he was screaming all day, meow, 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 because he got his mustache burnt. Then night somebody gave him buttermilk. As soon as he saw buttermilk, immediately he ran away. So one developed so much fear of the material sense gratification after having experienced the kicks. That was his understanding. Whose understanding? Daksha. But Prabhupada says in the purport there that actually it's not that, you know, a pregnant lady says, "This is my last child, I don't want any more child, it is such a big child birth labor." But then again, 2 years later, she comes again with a big belly again. So in the same manner, sense gratification gives us kicks. We suffer. We feel like giving up. Again and again, we indulge in it. Prabhupada says that. So then he scolded Narada. And then second set of sons, we got 1,000 now. Earlier it was 10,000. Now it was Shaulas was 1,000. So they also went to the same spot. So Prabhupada says, this fellow already had a bad experience in Narayan Saras. But he's sending the second set of sons also there. Which means, in the Vedic time, people are convinced that, you know, sense control, mind control training is necessary before entering Rastasha. So still he took the risk and sent. And Narada Muni came there, saw them. Oh, yeah, beautiful boys. Completely, you know, surrendered to Lord, pure hearted. He told them, dear boys, you can see what your great elder brothers have done. You just follow in their footsteps. And then he went away. So they also followed. Now this time he became really wild. Uncontrollably wild. At that time Narada Muni got the news that the father of these boys is wild on me. And Narada thought in this dynasty, Prachetas, I met them, gave them knowledge. And who is the father of Prachetas? Prachana Parishad. He gave him also knowledge. Narada Muni personally sat with him. And then Prachana Parishad comes in whose dynasty? Dhruva Maharaj. Everybody I have delivered. The one fellow who is little difficult to deliver is Daksha. But why should I leave him? So Narada Muni went straight to his palace. See, how many of you brahmacharis, one of your counselors is joining temple? And the father is in storm. And you go to his home to meet him. Will you ever want to meet? But he was going to meet. Why? Narada was prepared to take an insult. Because when Daksha shouts insults at him, after shouting enough, he will get tired. And seeing Narada behave like a sadhu, he will feel repentance. And in that repentance, he will feel humility. When he feels humility, it will be easy to preach. With that idea, Narada Muni went to his house. And Daksha told him, you are claiming to be a sadhu, you are a sadhu, I am the real sadhu. Because I am fulfilling all the Vedic formularies and everything. So he really stormed and insulted Narada. So Vishnu Chakrathakur has mentioned that his tendency to insult Narada comes from his offense to Shiva, which he performed before. Which means the offensive mentalities go so deep into our heart, even up to prema stage, the effect of offenses cannot be nullified. Only when we Bhagavad Anubhava, which is actually after the prema stage, when one sees the Lord eye to eye directly, at that time only the effect of the offenses are nullified. So here I felt one point is very important. Here it says, the controversy of Daksha Yajna took place in Swayambhuva Manvantar period. As a result, Daksha was punished by Lord Shiva. But by virtue of his prayers to Lord Shiva, he became eligible to regain his former opulence. And then he also says that Daksha underwent severe penances up to the fifth Manvantara. So two very important points here. If somebody commits a blunder, then they have to be willing to perform severe penances. We should not shy away. We should perform penances. For example, say somebody committed a blunder. You give a 2 year period or 3 year period that this period you will not be allowed to function in the capacity in which you were functioning before. So in that period, what should one do? Should one prepare all possible supportive things and everything to attack back? So one should actually use that period for penance. The meaning of the word penance means like, Parashuram, after killing Kshatriyas. So Parashuram felt that maybe by mistake I might have killed some Kshatriya who is not deserving candidate for being killed. Because when you mass kill, when you kill, somebody not eligible to be killed may be killed. So he thought, I will perform penances now. So which is the holy place he went? Mahendra Parvat. So he went and sat and he performed meditation for some period of time. So penances are generally performed after we have committed certain mistakes. So to cleanse the heart, even you will see Muchukunda Raja, you know, he matiste vimalorjita, Lord is telling. Hey Raja, I am ready to give you any benediction you want, but you are telling me that you only want Shuddha Bhakti. It's simply amazing for me, the Lord said. You have lived in the palace with so much opulences, but still the opulence of the palace has not touched you. Your heart is so pure. Rajan Matiste Vimalorjita, he is saying. Your heart is very pure. And then the Lord told him, now I bless you that in this particular life, you should perform penances, he said. And then after you die, next life you will become a Brahmana and you will practice devotional service to me. And then you will come back to me, like that the Lord says. Why? Prabhupada gives explanation in the purport. He says that as a king, he might have acted violently with many people. So, a king, the Kshatriya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they all can become victim of sins. As Shastra say, for example, Brahmana, while killing the horse or the cow to be put in the sacrifice, sometimes if there is some imperfection in the sacrifice, there will be some sin that will accrue. Similarly for a Kshatriya also. Similarly for a Vaishya also in handling money and all that. So penances are required even for Muchukunda, such a pure soul, still he performed those penances. So therefore, we also, if you have committed some mistake, we should voluntarily take some new engagement, additional engagement, devotional engagement for purifying during that time period which is given to us. That's one thing. Second thing we learn here is, we should not name call a person who has committed blunders, or we should not label a person or lump him as a bad person for whole life. That is not acceptable. Because Lord himself is a forgiving Lord. So here you find Daksha agreed that he committed some blunders. But then after he undergoes the penances and becomes purified, he is again reinstated in the position of Prajapati. He is given a second chance. He is given. In ISKCON also, if somebody commits some blunder, then 5 years or so, sannyasi or GBC or gurus and all, they are not allowed to hold any position. For example, if somebody was a sannyasi, he fell from the position and he got married to somebody. It's considered a fall down for a sannyasi. Then he has to 5 years not receive any respect, which means he will not preach. I mean, he is not allowed to sit in a vyasasana and give lectures. He is not allowed to lead people or counsel people, but he is allowed to come to temple with a wife, take darshan, chant and dance in Guru Puja, take prasad with devotees, associate with Vaishnavas. He can be one of the Vaishnava devotees. How wonderful is this path of Vaishnavism, you can see. Such a merciful path that, it doesn't deprive one in attaining Krishna. At the same time, it prevents one from holding position where he can cause a bigger damage. Correct? No? And also if a sannyasi falls from his position and marries and you allow him to continue as a leader, then many will think it's quite normal, no problem. Today you are sannyasi, tomorrow you throw away the danda and get married to a woman. Because and you can continue the leadership and position and all. Therefore some punishment is kept. So 5 years period is actually given for purification, after which one can be reinstated in the same position again as Daksha was. Like for example, in the 6th canto you read, Indra offends Brihaspati. Indra is sitting in an elevated seat and half the seat is occupied by Sachi, and there are demigods holding the umbrella. He is surrounded by Adityas and Rubus and Maruts and Vasus and everybody, even the Vidyadharas and Kinnaras and Charanas. And there are also Apsaras and Gandharvas singing, Apsaras dancing. People are fanning him. Flowers are being showered upon Indra. Indra ke jai ho, jai jakar was happening for him. And the Guruji Brihaspati entered the hall. And Indra looked at him, but did not get up, did not bow down to Guru, did not offer him a seat, did not smilingly welcome him. He sort of ignored him. So Brihaspati, what did he do? Brihaspati was very potent Brahmana, very powerful. He could have cursed him, but he didn't do it. He became dissatisfied and he left the palace and went to his home. And within a moment, Indra immediately understood. Immediately got up from his seat and told all his associates, you see, my mind has become polluted by my false ego. I have become afflicted by ignorance, due to which I have offended this great personality, my spiritual master. And then he told all of them, in this world, if somebody says, that if you are in a very big position and you are sitting in an elevated seat, if some other respectable person comes, you don't have to get up because you are yourself exalted. If somebody says like that, he is the greatest fool. Like that he says. Because those people who know the Vedic etiquettes know that the greatness of individual doesn't come by assuming respect or demanding respect. It comes by offering respect. So, therefore, he lamented greatly. And he told all the demigods, come, let's go to the home of Brihaspati and offer obeisances to him. But Brihaspati in his mind saw what is going on in the palace. He knew that this fellow will come to offer me obeisances and then the offense will be nullified. And he didn't want the offense to be nullified so quickly because he wanted his disciple to learn some lessons. So he vanished from his home. And Indra was such a personality, you can be in any nook and corner of this universe, he can find you. This time not only Indra, Indra sent his associates in all the 10 directions to find out Guru, and he also was searching. But he couldn't find Guru anywhere. What does that mean? That means Guruji is super intelligent than Indra also. He must have hidden himself in such a place even Indra couldn't find out. So he couldn't find out. So after that, the Asura saw that the demigods' position have become very weak because they have offended their Guru. And at that time they had worshipped their Guru Shukracharya and they had become very powerful. So now they being powerful, they attacked Indra. Indra lost all his opulences now. The demigods were attacking the limbs of the body of the demigod. The hands and legs were cut. Demigods were screaming, running for their lives. And then Indra and all the associates, they ran to Brahmaji. Brahma is like a father. So what else can he do? Then he fell at the feet of Brahma. Brahma understood the situation. And Brahma told anyone who worships the Supreme Lord and the Brahmanas and the cows, he will become very tejasvi, very, very powerful. But you have not worshipped your spiritual master, who is not only the most exalted Brahmana, he is always, his mind is fixed in Supreme Brahman and he is controlled in his senses. Therefore, he is the most potent and powerful. You offended him, therefore you lost all your opulence, Brahma told. And then Brahma told, now in order to rectify your situation, you take shelter of another Brahmana and perform yajna. So the Vishwarupa pastime comes after that. So the demigods went and embraced Vishwarupa and said, hey Vishwarupa, although you are junior in age to us, you are still a priest. When it comes to the Vedic priesthood, you know, you can be inferior in age, but still you can be requested by a very exalted demigod or a senior person to perform the Vedic sacrifice. That is the system in the Vedic, this thing. A guru can tell a disciple to chant the Vedic mantras in the Vedic sacrifice. So we are requesting you. And Vishwarupa accepted also. He was a very perfect gentleman. But then Indra committed a second mistake when he offered the ahuti for the demons also. Because his mother, father, both sides are coming from demon and demigods. So when he offered the one spoon for the demons also, Indra became very insecure. Hey, he will make the demons also powerful. Immediately he cut off the head of Vishwarupa. And when he cut off the head, it flew in the form of three birds. So his head was cut. Big, again, Brahmahatya. He's a Brahmana. He's killing a Brahmana. So the Brahmahatya aparad came on the account of Indra. And then he handed over that suffering which came to the land, to the trees, to water and the women. He divided it. So he was relieved from that sin after that. Now, what happened? Because he offended Vishwarupa, you know, Vishwarupa's father, Tvashta, became wild. You know, you can't pinch your neighbor and just keep quiet, thinking nothing will happen to me. They will pinch you back. Correct, no? Then he created that Indra Shatru, and then Vritrasura came. So when Vritrasura came, Indra actually asked the question to sages. You know, already I got into trouble with Vishwarupa. Now this fellow is not only a Brahmana, he is a Mahatma. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. You know, he is speaking all Aham Harer Tava Padayak Mula and big verses he is speaking. He is in a mood of servant of the servant. He is a Parama Vaishnava. If I kill him, what will happen? You know. So the sages told him, no, Indra, don't worry. You know, Lord Narayana is so powerful. If you perform a very big yajna, we will help you perform the yajna. The yajna can nullify even a Brahmahatya or Gohatya. And they told a list of long items. You know, this many bad things if you do also, even if you kill the whole universe, consisting of all living entities, still we have a yajna which can rectify it. You know, to the Supreme Lord Narayana. Supreme Lord Narayana is so potent and powerful, you don't know. Taking their word seriously, the demigod and sages spoke to him like that. Then he prayed to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu arranged, you know, for that Vajra, you know, got the Vajra, and when he killed Vritrasura, you know, terrible sins accrued, I mean, aparad, killing a Mahat. It's not only Brahma Hatya, it's the Vaishnava Hatya. He became completely dissatisfied and broken-hearted. Nobody was happy after Vritrasura was killed. Because when we do something wrong, our conscience will hurt us. Guilty feeling that will eat us up from inside. So then he was wondering what is to be done. Then the sin personified in the form of a lady having tuberculosis, a witch. She was emitting blood from her mouth and coughing. And her body was stinking like anything. Sometimes you see this truck goes, no? This kachraka truck. Sometimes you are driving a vehicle behind. What kind of smell comes through the air? Her body was stinking like that. Wow, smell. Bad smell and bloody body and witch, old witch type of thing. Like that she was behind. And when he went in the sky, she was going in the sky also. Wherever he went, she was chasing. And Indra had to run from pillar to post. And what do you think the demigods and sages did? They were very happy that Uttarasura is gone now. And they were all in their own planet, Haribol. There was nobody to help. See, this is why we have to be careful. Some people will tell you to do some wrong thing. And when you do, they will run away. They will use your shoulder to, you know, hit somebody. And they will be gone and you will be in trouble. Especially when you have to do something wrong, you have to be careful. So, then Indra went to Manasarovar Lake and entered into the world of a lotus, went to the bottom most portion where Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi resides. He fell at her feet. Oh, Universal Mother, save me, I have no other place to go. So Rudra, the Lord of 10 directions, and Lakshmi, the Universal Mother, by the both of their support and protection, for 1,000 years he did not get any food. Can you imagine? Because his food is the carried by Agni, the share of Indra. All other demigods got, he didn't get. He had to starve, because if he comes out, he'll be finished. The sin personified will devour him. So he couldn't come out. So he had to remain inside. So he had to starve like that. So again, Indra was brought back from that position. They performed their sacrifices and reinstated Indra in his position after he repented like this. So you will see that if somebody has fallen from the position, they have to perform penance. And besides the penance, they have to repent also. So Prabhupada uses these two words, repentance and penance. Both he uses. Later on in 8th canto, we find Indra offends Dhruvasamuni when he gave a garland. So he gave it to the elephant. Elephant trampled it. Dhruvasa became angry. And Indra lost all his opulences, isn't it? Again, the demons took note. They attacked. And they defeated him, they usurped his kingdom, everything. Then they went to Lord Vishnu this time, and Vishnu told them to go for a truce, declare a truce. And then Samudra Manthan Leela, again Vishnu reinstated Indra in his position. So this thing keeps repeating. The lesson for us is, we should not become proud of our material opulences. Because if we become proud, then our mind will become polluted by false ego and contaminated. And the contaminated mind makes us proud, makes us think very high, and then we commit offenses. Therefore, we have an opportunity to perform penances and become humble and become purified. If we are offered a position or a post, then the responsibility connected to the post is also very high. That is another thing we learn. A commoner is a follower, but a leader has a much bigger responsibility, because a leader is a trendsetter and many people follow him. Therefore, his speech, his behavior, his conduct becomes all important. So we have to always be watchful of our conduct. If you commit mistake, we should not feel shy to rectify the mistake by seeking forgiveness, seeking apology, and also be willing to rectify the situation, whatever it takes. So in this way, he was Daksha Prajapati is posted in Chakshushamanu. So what we Chakshe Twantare Prapte Praksarge Kala Vidrute Yasa Sarja Praja Ishtaha Sadaksho Daiva Chodhitaha. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the Supreme Will, created all the desired living entities. The Chakshusha Manvantara, Grantrachimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Okay, I am here another 10 minutes for question answer, okay? Others can proceed, yeah, prasadam.
Pujya Daksha offended Lord Shiva, and then when he was beheaded and got a goat head, and then he pleaded and Lord Shiva forgave him. But again we see in the instance when he was interacting with Narad Muni, so his offensive script was still there.
Actually, offensive script, sometimes what happens,